CBS News. According to Poland's ambassador to Britain, Solidarity Chief Lech Wałęsa is receiving special treatment and is not under arrest. I'm Judy Muller, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Ambassador Stefan Staniszewski spoke to reporters outside the Foreign Office in London and said that while he does not know exactly what's happened to Wałęsa, he is not under arrest and he is in contact with the government and other people. The diplomat would not define what kind of special treatment Wałęsa is receiving. The Solidarity leader has not been allowed to speak directly to the Polish people since martial law was imposed Sunday. Government sources earlier described Wałęsa as a weeping, broken man. Reports out of Poland today indicate workers in the Silesian coal fields and in the shipyard in Gdansk are rebelling against the martial law regime and are staging strikes despite threats of death and imprisonment. Poland's premier, General Jaruzelski, has sent a letter to Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev on the occasion of his 75th birthday today. The letter says in part, "The Polish nation, which has had harsh experiences throughout its history, highly esteems the Soviet policy of peace and your personal leading participation in its formation." More CBS News after this.
We can turn off the dryer now, Mrs. Sloan. Oh,
that's all right, Barbara. The longer I stay under the hairdryer, the less I eat.
Pardon?
I'm trying to diet, but I'm always hungry.
Oh, I used to have that problem.
You're slim. How do you control your appetite?
Deliciously, with AIDS candy.
AIDS candy?
Mm-hmm.
How can candy help you eat less?
AIDS is more than delicious candy. It's a diet plan. AIDS works two ways.
How?
The candy helps satisfy your hunger, and it has an effective appetite suppressant. So I eat less and lose weight deliciously.
Does AIDS candy contain a stimulant?
No stimulant. Nothing that can make you nervous. AIDS simply helps control your appetite so you eat less. I have some right here in my purse. Taste.
Mmm, they are delicious.
The AIDS diet plan lets you enjoy two AIDS before each meal.
And I'll be less hungry with AIDS?
Right.
Well, that's half the battle. I'll try AIDS.
Lose weight deliciously with the aid of AIDS. Available at drugstores and supermarkets everywhere. Use only as directed.
Defense Minister of Israel Ariel Sharon says the United States is striking at the heart of his country's national security. Yesterday, the State Department said it's putting off talks on stepped-up military cooperation between the two countries. The U.S. postponement of the talks was a sign of American disapproval of Israel's annexation of the Syrian Golan Heights. Bob Thaw has more on the Israeli reaction.
Publicly, Israeli officials are screaming, "This is no way to treat an ally." Privately, though, senior officials here say the decision was expected. And while they are relieved that Washington did not go farther and slash economic assistance, as some had feared, they concede the postponement will have a devastating blow on Israel's reeling economy, particularly its vital defense industry, where unemployment is at record levels and which desperately needs that $200 million in sales called for in the suspended pact. It is also a blow at the political prestige of Prime Minister Begin, who had trumpeted the agreement as one of his primary achievements. Despite all that, sources insist the government has no intention of revoking annexation. The thinking among key officials here is that Israel has weathered storms with the U.S. before. That while Israel needs the U.S., Washington also needs Israel to check Russian interests in the area. In short, that the strategic pact helps both countries and will eventually go forward, even though now its postponement makes Israel's isolation in the world community seem more complete than ever before. Bob Fall, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Leaders of the nation's biggest auto companies have told President Reagan they are counting on him for help in pulling their depressed industry out of the doldrums. Lee Iacocca, head of Chrysler, said Mr. Reagan recognizes fully we are in a disaster area. During a meeting with the president, the group praised Mr. Reagan's economic recovery program while also requesting the administration's support for a relaxation of auto emission standards. We'll have more CBS News right after this.
When you're out there on the road and you need a place to go, I know a place with good food all night long.
It's a Denny's restaurant, and this month between 11 at night and 6 in the morning, we'll take 50 cents off any of our 7 delicious jumbo burgers, including our new fresh mushroom burger. Try one.
Denny's, you'll love our food.
The Wall Street Journal helps keep you informed of everything happening anywhere that could affect your future and your company's future. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 26 weeks of the Journal, one for every business day of the week, for just $41. That's less than $1.60 per week. So if you're serious about business, in the continental U.S., call toll-free 800-228-5505. That's 800-228-5505. Except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
The American Society of Agricultural Engineers has wrapped up its annual meeting in Chicago after debating animal care and welfare for 1 week. According to animal rights activists who attended, farmers are not taking care of their animals and drastic reforms are needed. Opponents at the conference argued that such reforms would be costly headaches to farmers. Those who want reform say chickens are suffering from heat stress and barns are too drafty for the cows. They are demanding five basic rights for animals: the freedom to get up, to lie down, to turn around, to stretch, and to preen. Judy Muller, CBS News.
This is Spectrum on the CBS Radio Network. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Roger Wilkins. As this Christmas season progresses, I wish more than anything that I could foresee that eternal promise: peace on earth, goodwill toward men, taking shape in the next few years. Its most concrete form would be a diminution in the arms race that makes us all less secure. Yet as Christmas approaches and the arms talks continue in Geneva, the race goes on building steadily toward even more lethal and even more undetectable weapons. The question is why? Part of the answer is obviously that our munitions industry and many of our generals want to build and to deploy any weapon that our technology can produce, no matter how lethal and no matter how difficult to control once it has been put into place. But that's not the whole answer. We people of America permit our representatives to continue to build these weapons, and if we thought differently about the world, we would exert greater efforts to limit arms. Why don't we? I think it is because the Soviet Union makes us crazy. The arms race is in part an expression of mutual paranoia in the Soviet Union and here. Real efforts to limit arms must rest on a calculation that the people on the other side are rational and can be trusted. I think that the Soviet leaders don't want their grandchildren to be fried in a nuclear war. I read a recent account of Soviet nuclear doctrine that holds a nuclear war to be unwinnable. I believe they think that. But then when I read about cases like that of Boris Chernobylsky, I understand why I and other Americans are afraid to trust the Soviets too much. Mr. Chernobylsky is a radio engineer in Moscow who wants to emigrate. An Associated Press story reported that after a Jewish social gathering was disrupted by the police, Mr. Chernobylsky called a policeman a fascist. For that, he was sentenced to a year in a labor camp. Now, everybody who can read or hear knows about Andrei Sakharov's valiant fight to force the Soviet leaders to permit his daughter-in-law to join her husband in the United States. And everybody who was following the story knows that the KGB picked up the daughter-in-law, took her for a ride 15 miles out of Moscow, gave her a lecture about making trouble, and then put her out and made her hitchhike home. Sakharov has done the world a great favor by illuminating once again the brutishness and the pettiness of the Soviet regime. But for the one Sakharov who can gain the attention of the world's press, there are probably tens of thousands of Boris Chernobylskys of whom we don't hear. There are so many thugs and hooligans at work for the Soviet government that it is hard for us to trust it very much. And that's one of the reasons the arms race goes on. This is Roger Wilkins for Spectrum.
Six personal points of view on Spectrum. Opinions not necessarily those of this station or the CBS radio network.
CBS News, the Pope takes a step in the Polish crisis. I'm Paul Lockwood reporting on the CBS radio network. Details on this development from David Andelman, who has been monitoring the Polish situation from Vienna, Austria.
Two senior Vatican diplomatic representatives are en route to Warsaw tonight, reportedly taking one of the few reliable links between Poland and the West, the night train, the Chopin Express, from Vienna to the Polish capital. The senior delegate is Luigi Poggi, in charge of the Vatican's Ostpolitik, one of the most important facets of the Vatican's foreign policy, its relations with the countries of Eastern Europe, and especially Poland, the home country of Pope John Paul II. Poggi is a veteran Vatican diplomat with broad and deep contacts among all the secular as well as religious leaders of Eastern Europe. It was Poggi who helped to arrange the Pope's return visit to Poland nearly 3 years ago, his first foreign trip. The mission of the Vatican representatives is clearly the most important diplomatic contact since the Polish martial law regime was imposed last Sunday. David Andelman, CBS News, Vienna.
We'll have more on Poland when the news continues.
I'm home.
Hi, honey. How was your physical exam?
Okay, I guess. But one thing is clear. I really have to quit smoking. Mm-hmm. I mean, really. And I've made the decision.
Great. But can you?
Darn right. I've done some investigating, and I bought these.
Bantron Smoking Deterrent Tablets.
If you really want to stop smoking, Bantron will help. It's the scientific formula that can help you break the nicotine habit.
You've already started with Bantron?
Right. I took one Bantron tablet after lunch today, and I feel like I'm on my way to quitting.
Great.
Bantron has a buffered formula that works fast, and it really helps ease your craving for nicotine.
Well, that's half the battle right there.
It sure is. I'm going to keep taking Bantron.
Mm-hmm.
One tablet after each meal.
Right.
That's my plan. But...
But what?
I feel like I've already had my last cigarette.
Oh, honey, if I had a bottle of champagne, I'd pop it open right now.
Bantron tablets have the most effective formula you can buy to make it easier to quit smoking. The more you want to stop, the more Bantron will help you stop. Bantron can help you break the cigarette habit. Available at supermarkets and drugstores. Use only as directed.
As for the situation in Poland itself, Dan Raviv in London has been listening to the news as reported over Warsaw Radio.
While Radio Warsaw reported that the economy is improving under martial law, the official radio station also confirmed that resistance continued even beyond the 7 deaths and 400 injuries reported on Thursday. A press review heard here over Radio Warsaw spoke of disturbances in several towns, including a second day of trouble in the northern port city of Gdansk, where the Solidarity Union began last year. According to Radio Warsaw, rioters set fire to 2 vehicles, including a police car. In the words of the broadcast, 2 militiamen jumped out of the car, their clothes on fire. They were saved by a water cannon. Police also used tear gas. The broadcast said 27 people were injured. In general, Radio Warsaw said what it calls the forces of order are taking firm but calm action to prevent strikes. The station is also broadcasting statements attributed to local leaders of Solidarity, calling on union members not to heed today's call for a general strike. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
President Reagan is staying at the White House this weekend rather than going to Camp David. Mr. Reagan wants to stay in close touch with developments in Poland and also with the situation in Italy, where Red Brigade's terrorists continue to hold U.S. Army General James Dozier. The Red Brigade's claim that Dozier, the senior NATO officer, is being held at what's called a people's prison to face proletarian justice. Earlier this year, the Red Brigade's killed 2 people and released 2 others after subjecting them to similar people's trials. Italian police are carrying out searches as far away as Venice for General Dozier, who was abducted from his home in Verona on Thursday. Israeli Defense Minister Ariel Sharon has sharply denounced the Reagan administration's decision to suspend the recently signed agreement on strategic cooperation between the U.S. and Israel. Sharon, speaking on Israeli state radio, said the United States is trying to, quote, strike at the heart of Israel's national security, unquote. Washington acted in response to Israel's decision to annex the Golan Heights. Now this message.
Joe, wake up.
Why did
you buy such a noisy clock?
Noisy? It's just a normal ticking.
Well, it sounds like Big Ben to me.
Hey, why don't you go back to sleep?
I can't get to sleep. I took an aspirin, too.
Aspirin? But that's for a headache. Hey, try Compose. It's great when occasionally you can't get to sleep. Yeah, I think I might have some.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night, take Compose. C-O-M-P-O-Z. Taken as directed before you go to bed, Compose helps make you drowsy so you can fall asleep when you want to fall asleep, at bedtime.
Martha. Martha, time to get up.
Is it morning already?
What were you saying about not being able to get to sleep?
Oh, not after you gave me that Compose. It really helped me doze off.
That's Compose for you.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night? Take Compose. C-O-M-P-O-Z. Take only as directed. Get Compose from your druggist and insist upon the new formula.
12-year-old Todd Cantrell is back home in Dalton, Georgia, after he and his parents spent 4 weeks in the Soviet Union. It wasn't a family vacation that took the Cantrells to Russia. They went so that Todd could receive a controversial treatment for the eye disease retinitis pigmentosa. The youngster says his vision is improved, but he'll have to go back to see the Soviet doctors again later next year for more tests and treatment.
Personal opinion on issues of public interest from 6 different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Joe Sobrin. Well, it finally happened. It's crackdown time in Poland. I'm amazed it took so long. Lech Wałęsa and Solidarity have shown the world that you can achieve a measure of freedom even under communism. Not that communism deserves any credit for that. History has been hard on Poland lately. The world has all but forgotten that it was a violation of Poland's sovereignty, the result of a deal between Hitler and Stalin that started World War II. The war ended with Poland a handsome addition to Stalin's empire, where it has remained ever since. Remember, we say we won that war. The history of the 20th century is the history of illusions about communism. In the 20s, the progressive journalist Lincoln Steffens came back from the Soviet Union to announce, "I have been over into the future, and it works." Eventually, we got the news about the purges in Gulag camps. During World War II, Hitler made Stalin virtuous by double-crossing him. We embraced Stalin and turned him into Uncle Joe. That cuddly figure evaporated right after the war, when Uncle Joe put Poland and several other countries under his belt. Then Stalin died, and we got the jolly Khrushchev. The Soviet Union was mellowing. Of course, it held on to Poland and went to gruesome extremes to hold on to Hungary and East Germany. No matter, it was peaceful coexistence time. After the convivial Khrushchev tried to stick missiles into Cuba, he was replaced by the moderate Brezhnev. We had summit conferences, so there was that Czechoslovakian affair, and the arms race melted into detente. Nobody was saying the Soviet Union was a workers' paradise anymore, but we were assured that it was an essentially conservative superpower that shared with us a common interest in preserving stability and avoiding nuclear war. Then there was that Afghanistan business. But again, the Soviets were only protecting their borders. They didn't see it as aggression, and neither should we. Then once more came Poland. We were to rejoice. The Soviets couldn't quench the desire for freedom, and that's true. All they can quench, it seems, is freedom itself. What can we do now? Not much, I guess. But at least we can make a stink. We can pull out of the United Nations unless we mean to use it to denounce Soviet aggression. Not only the latest invasion, but the perpetual aggression of tyranny against everyone in the Soviet Empire. Afghanistan goes on. Poland goes on. We can stop kidding ourselves, too. We can stop calling Brezhnev the Soviet leader as if he had some sort of inspirational qualities. He's not a leader. He's a killer. This is Joe Sobrin for Spectrum.
Six personal points of view on Spectrum. Opinions not necessarily those of this station or the CBS radio network.
CBS News. Two papal envoys are on their way to Poland. I'm Paul Lockwood reporting on the CBS radio network. An announcement today by the Vatican that Pope John Paul II, concerned over developments in his homeland, has dispatched two emissaries to Poland. The two envoys left Rome for Vienna today, where they plan to take a train to Warsaw. The mission is said to be one of fact-finding. As for the situation inside Poland, a report subject to government censorship says that defiant workers are continuing their resistance in the southern coal fields as well as in the shipyards of Gdansk. And according to reports from the Solidarity Trade Union, 66 workers have been killed by Polish troops in the Katowice province. More on Poland when CBS News continues.
Hey, Scotty, how come you didn't bowl with us last night? With the tournament coming up, we need all the practice we can get.
Sorry, I had a bowling back.
A what?
A simple nagging backache from too much practicing.
From overexertion, you mean?
I guess.
But you seem to be in good form tonight.
Thanks to some good advice. I'm taking Doane's pills.
Doane's pills? My dad sure believes in them.
Why not? Doane's pills work, and I'll prove it. Listen, top man on the scorecard tonight plays for free, okay?
You're on.
Good advice. Doane's pills. Thousands of people take them for simple nagging backache pain due to overexertion, stress, or strain. Taken as directed, this time-proven analgesic for minor backache pain brings relief that lasts for hours, the kind of welcome relief you may need. Doane's pills.
Another strike! Scotty, are you sure you had a nagging backache last night?
Just as sure as I am that Doane's pills have relieved my pain.
Get Doane's pills and get the better of a backache due to overexertion, stress, or strain. Available at drug counters or your favorite supermarket. Use only as directed.
According to the Communist Party newspaper Pravda, Polish Prime Minister Jaruzelski has conveyed his thanks to Soviet President Brezhnev for the Kremlin leader's understanding of what's termed the dramatic and difficult situation in Poland. The comment, says Pravda, was contained in a message marking Brezhnev's 75th birthday. Jaruzelski was the only Warsaw Pact leader missing from a birthday ceremony yesterday in Moscow. It's being called the biggest manhunt ever in Italy, the search for U.S. Army General James Dozier, kidnapped Thursday by the Red Brigade's terrorist organization. Police have fanned out across northern Italy searching for Dozier. The Red Brigade's group says it's holding the general at a people's prison to face what's called proletarian justice. A happy ending to a quest for freedom in the Soviet Union. This is the day that Lisa Alexeyeva leaves Russia for the United States to be reunited with her husband. Mary Wisniewski reports from Moscow.
The daughter-in-law of Andrei Sokolov and Yelena Bonner is departing Moscow en route to a welcome by her husband's sister in Paris, and next a flight to the United States to rejoin Alexei Semyonov, a man she last saw 3 years ago and who in the meantime has become her husband by proxy. Alexeyeva is leaving with her Soviet citizenship intact, an unusual privilege by the immigration authorities. Most departing Soviets are required to renounce their citizenship. Alexeyeva has spent her last days in Moscow saying goodbye to friends and supporters, especially to Yelena Bonner, the woman she calls her second mother, and who, along with Andrei Sakharov, fasted for 17 days on Alexeyeva's behalf. Mary Wisniewski for CBS News, Moscow.
There are reports of several bomb explosions today in Lebanon. One blast in a residential area of predominantly Muslim West Beirut is said to have killed 10 people, but that report at this time is unconfirmed. An official government reaction isn't expected until tomorrow's cabinet meeting, but some Israeli authorities are speaking out against the U.S. decision to suspend the recently signed security agreement because of Israel's annexation of the Golan Heights. The latest to comment is Israeli Defense Minister Ariel Sharon. He calls the action an attempt to strike at the very heart of Israel's security. From Athens comes word that an Albanian embassy spokesman there has confirmed reports that Albania's prime minister for 27 years has committed suicide. Earlier, an Albanian state radio report said the prime minister had taken his own life in what was described as a time of nervous crisis. And the prime minister of Zimbabwe, Robert Mugabe, today visited the Salisbury headquarters of his political party, which was wrecked by a bomb explosion yesterday. 6 people were injured in that blast, and about 150 others were injured. Now this message.
According to a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, more people are going broke than ever before, and that means a booming demand for credit counseling. If information like this is important to you, have a pencil ready for an offer from the Journal that could help you get a head start every business day with up-to-the-minute business information that could affect your future and your company's future. Other journal articles revealed how year-end tax strategies may reduce your 1981 tab, the heated advertising war between gas and oil companies, why the Reagan administration is killing business programs for women, and what one of this year's hottest stock pickers is telling his clients. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 26 weeks of the Journal, one for every business day of the week, for less than $1.60 per week. That's just $41 for 26 weeks, less than $1.60 per week. So, if you're serious about business, in the continental U.S., call toll-free 800-228-6600. That's 800-228-6600, except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
Farmers in southeastern Idaho plan to take to the range again today with their horses and motorcycles to continue the slaughter of jackrabbits that was begun last weekend. First time out, the farmers claim to have rounded up and slugged to death about 3,000 rabbits, which they blame for millions of dollars in crop damage. The goal is to get rid of as many as 15,000 of the animals. Paul Lockwood, CBS News.